I'm Fumi Simano, joined by Mark J. Parker and Tom Truba.
Mm-hmm. What's up, everybody?
How are you guys doing today?
Pretty good. It's super warm on our coast, right,
Tom? Super warm, but I do feel like, Mark, my allergies were kind of like kicking in today.
That's so funny you say that, Tom. Luckily,
I am hurting.
Knocking on wood as we speak, I am not hurting, but I thought of us, the three of us have crazy allergies, and I just thought like, oh, I really don't want to sneeze today, because literally in New York and Connecticut today, as of this recording, it was 65.
What?
Today?
Yeah,
oh,
it was 63.
I was wearing shorts all day. We went on a hike. I mean, mm-hmm. it was like actually hot. I think it actually, in the sun at a certain point in the day, probably felt more like 70.
Yeah, but yeah, totally.
Should we be a little like freaked out by that? It's like, oh,
yeah.
I
mean, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Wow. Definitely freaked out.
Half of the world wants to pretend that it's okay. So, whatever.
It's normal, right? Oh, my God.
Oh, yeah. It was warm. And I'm not going to lie, it was nice, but I know it's bad. So, yeah. But maybe it's part of that World War III thing. I don't know.
Well, we've got a good show today. I'm kind of excited because it's our Oscar showdown show. We're going to find out what the Oscars are, and we're going to talk about the nominations.
Yes. Uh-huh. Breaking news, people.
Because they're going to be here, like, tomorrow. Like, literally, the Oscars are, like, so, so freaking soon. Because they moved it up a month this year.
Yeah, because remember, like, when we were kids, they were, like, in March. They were, like, mid to late March, I feel like, when we were, like, in middle school, high school, and then they're getting, you know, which I kind of like to have it all condensed, but...
Yeah, they always seem too late.
Yeah, so this year it's fast, and I cannot keep up. Every night I'm going to have to, like, watch movies this week, so, yeah.
I know. Well, we're going to get started with our...
You can do it, girl. You can do it.
We're going to get started with our housekeeping and headlines.
Woo!
And then we're going to get to our list and then Oscars. And then that's going to be our show for today.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. So let's kick it off with some headlines. Tom, would you like to go first?
Sure. So over the weekend, or I guess really on Friday as of this recording, so 3 days ago, it was announced that ABC, here we go, guys, still going strong with Reboot Mania and Sequel Series Mania. ABC is going to give a sequel series to 30-something. Now, I have never seen 30-something. I know it was a massive hit. Right. I mean, it premiered in 1987 and it ran 4 seasons. So we were like 4 and 5 over that time period. So no surprise that we didn't see it. However, it did rack up in those 4 years nearly 40 Emmy nominations and 13 Emmy wins in those 4 seasons.
I had no idea.
Yeah. Hmm. Ken Olin, who is a huge executive producer and directs many, many episodes on This Is Us, which Fumi and I love very, very much, he got his start on 30-something. Patricia Wedig, who Fumi and I and Mark, were you a Brothers and Sisters fan?
Oh, yeah. I like
Brothers and Sisters. So all three of us loved Brothers and Sisters. Patty Wedig was the bitchy-ass Holly on Brothers and Sisters.
She was great.
She also got her start. Yep, she was great. So they're going to bring 30-something back with the original cast, and they're going to update it by saying now their children are all in their 30s, and so it's going to be mostly about their children with them taking a backseat.
Yeah, because it's
I didn't want to watch the 60-year-old.
Right, like
30-something times two.
Yeah, so this part I don't love. They're going to call it 30-something else. I think that's a little corny, but hey, whatever.
What do you think would have been a better title, Tom? 30-something again, or 30.
I might have just kept it as 30-something.
Yeah, maybe. You're right. Yeah, just keep it as
because
is.
Because it's still relevant for their children now.
Right, and I like that idea. Now, I never watched this. It seems like, Tom, you just recently started watching it?
Yep, so you cannot find this show anywhere on streaming. It is not on Netflix. Hmm. It is not on Amazon Prime. It is not on Apple for purchase. Jeff and I literally had to buy the DVD sets.
Oh my God.
We started with season one to make sure.
Why?
We started with
Why
only
did you
season
guys,
one.
Why did you guys do that?
Well, Jeff said...
No shade.
You know,
I'm just... straight curious.
No. That's a fair question. Jeff said that he never watched the show, and now that he's through his 30s, he'd like to see it. And now that he's I'm in my 30s, I'd like to see it. I mean, you know, it's pretty acclaimed, and I want to know why ABC is even considering bringing this show back. So, yeah, we're going to give it a shot. We're going to try and get through the series.
Now, Tom, did you buy the DVDs once this news... Like, after this news hit? Oh, wow. Good for you guys. You
Amazon Prime had it here in 2 days. We were like, yes, Amazon. Yes.
Okay. Now, did you check the ABC app? I just want to make sure.
Oh, you know, I didn't even think of that, but...
Yeah, I'm sure it's on there.
I don't know. You think? It's hard when it's that old.
No, they have... Because, like, ABC does their really, really old programming. So does NBC and CBS. Like, if you go to see, like, their classics.
They are on there. Huh.
Oh, that's so funny.
They might be. I don't know for a fact, but I'm sure one of us will check.
I'm checking right now.
Okay, yeah.
You got the return? You got that return label?
Or you know what? Hopefully become such a fan. That's going to just have a nice spot in your DVD collection.
I guess.
But that's cool. I think that's a cool idea. I don't know anything
Tom
about the show.
So mad right now. You know. He's like, God damn it.
Yeah, that's why like I said it like through a laugh because I just didn't want you to be like, oh, shit.
Why doesn't somebody else take the news item while I scrounge ABC.com for this?
Also, fun fact for you, Tom, if you didn't already know, and for listeners out there, a site that Greg actually turned me on to maybe a year ago that I am always on is JustWatch.com. Did you guys know about Just Watch?
No,
If you... If you type in a title, it'll tell you, you know, where it's available either for rent, to own, to subscribe to via, you know, an app or a site. So just type in 30-something and Just Watch might help as well. But
it is not on ABC's app, so I feel a little bit better.
Good.
Yeah,
okay,
good. Well, I hope no matter what, it was a cheap DVD, unless it was like...
It was like $19, guys, for season one. Because it's so hard to get, like,
thought you were going to say for all seasons.
No, girl, for season one. Like, that's why we're, like, throwing ourselves into this. So we didn't buy any more seasons to make sure that we like season one.
You know it's going to end up on the app, though, because ABC's going to
Yeah, well, now it is, certainly.
Wow.
But it's 85 episodes to get through before, and ABC has ordered the pilot, and they're planning on launching this in the fall, so, like, we kind of only got 8 months to get through 85 episodes in the middle of everything else we watch, in the middle of going to the movies the way we go to the movies.
Right, of course.
So.
Wow, 85
episodes. Your vacations, your jobs. So.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. First world problems.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I know.
Oh, wow. Okay. So then, Tom, it's an order for a pilot, and I guess we'll probably see it like as early as the fall, you think?
Correct, yeah.
Wow. Getting it right into the 30-something. All right. Cool.
Mark, what's your news?
So I also, randomly, this wasn't planned, everyone, I also have some interesting TV kind of reboot sequel series news, and this sort of surprised me because honestly this franchise keeps being rebooted and I don't know where to follow. I don't know where I should be looking. But so the Sci-Fi channel, which I always have a soft spot for, I don't really watch a lot of their TV, but I love whenever they're showing some marathon of movies. I mean, Sci-Fi is my friend. They have given a series order. It's not even a pilot. Straight to series order to Chucky. That's right. Chucky, the Child's Play doll. They are going to do a TV series, and it's being run by the Channel Zero creator, Nick Acosta. Nick Antosca, which I didn't realize. He worked on The Act, one of my favorite shows of last year. No. He was the showrunner for that. He created Channel Zero. So he's kind of like an interesting writer, creator, and Don Mancini, who has been with the films ever since the beginning. Exactly, Tom. Don Mancini wrote the original Child's Play and has been involved with all those movies, not the reboot film version that was last year. And I know he was very against that. So now it's very interesting because, like, I just feel like Chucky has seen so many iterations. And then with the reboot last year with Aubrey Plaza that we talked about, I remember Tom talked about and he liked it. I thought it was pretty fun. It took it into a weird new kind of robotic, frame. And so now this is going back to the original movies. I don't know. I guess it could be a TV show. What do you guys think? Could you see Chucky as a TV series and would it lose steam? right?
No, I don't. But I don't know. Maybe the audience or sci-fi does.
Yeah, I guess so, right?
Mm. Yeah.
So we'll see how that goes. But, you know, Nick Antosca said he has a great writer's room for this. So we'll see. I'm not sure if it's going to kind of be a show that sort of starts from the very beginning or just kind of continues where we left off with Chucky. But I guess we'll be seeing more of the killer doll on our TV screens.
Nice.
So, yeah.
And I want to talk about a fun piece of news, which is Amy Poehler and Tina Fey are going to be hosting the 78th annual Golden Globes next year.
Yeah, they are done with Ricky.
Right?
That was super fast.
I'm so excited for that. I remember Ricky did like a joke this year and then it panned to Amy and she kind of just gave the camera like a eyebrow raise like, I could do better. Mm-hmm. So I'm sure they're like, yeah, we actually could do better. And so Amy and Tina, can you guys do it again? So I'm really excited.
They're so great.
A lot of fun.
I mean,
it's
the
kind
two
of
them,
crazy that we know a year ahead, though.
Yeah.
Right?
Like, for real, let's think about it for a second. When do you think they started talking to them about it? Because it couldn't have been that fast, like the Monday after the Golden Globes.
It could have been. I mean,
it could have been, yeah.
It really could have been. Who knows? I feel like the Globes, they didn't rate well, right, this year? Like, it was low. Mm. So maybe after they got their ratings, they were like, you know what, let's go back to like two women who are really funny every time they host. They hit it out of the park. Mm-hmm. It's comedy. They really play really well off of each other. It doesn't seem so like angry or like annoying when it's them. That seems like a more joyful type of show.
Yeah.
So I think, you know, they probably were just like, hey, Amy, hey, Tina, here's the check. This is what we'll double what we paid you last time you did it, so.
Right, yeah. And I'm just sort of surprised the two of them said yes so fast, if that's how it worked out. But yeah, maybe the money was good, and who knows, maybe they even saw how Ricky did, and they were like, this started off great, and now I'm feeling really awkward. I can do better.
Yeah.
Well, Amy already has her show on NBC.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So maybe that was an easy in, and then she was just like, called up Tina and just like Dexter or whatever. I mean, they both already have that relationship, so.
Of course, yeah. Mm-hmm. And I like that. I like NBC going to their pool of current and past NBC people. That feels kind of nice.
Yeah, agreed.
It's funny because Seth Abramovich, who we follow on Twitter and he follows us, so hey, Seth, he's the writer for Hollywood Reporter. He tweeted, 1 billion animals have died in the past 2 months alone, but we know who the hosts for next year's Golden Globes are. And it was like, oh, yeah, that's kind of biting, you know.
Ooh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's interesting to announce so fast. So now I guess the countdown is on to next year's Golden Globes.
I know, right? Seriously. We'll be excited to watch, though.
And that looks to be our headlines. Mm-hmm. So now it's that time you've all been waiting for. It's our list. Are we ready to get into it?
I am.
Yeah.
Okay, well, me too.
Hashtag?
What? Hashtag?
Hashtag me too.
Oh, God, we just took a turn. Sorry, everyone. but it's sort of fitting for at least one of our things, something I'm talking about. So, listeners, now it's that time you've all been waiting for. It's our list. We will tell you what we are recommending for you to watch and what we're, you know, maybe going to warn you not to watch. Let's start with Fumi. Why don't you take it away?
Sure. So the first thing on my list is a new show on a broadcast state network, which I don't think I've done in, I don't even know how long.
Yeah, it's been a minute.
Yeah. Y'all know I don't.
You are right, girl?
I don't want
Fumi's got the
TV.
Flu.
Right? Yeah. but this is an interesting show that I wanted to check out. Zoe's Extraordinary Playlist.
Yes, I'm interested. I haven't watched yet.
Yeah. So it stars Jane Levy, who I'm a fan of. I like her. And Skylar Astin, who we know from the...
Pitch Perfect?
Pitch Perfect. Thank you.
He is so cute.
He's adorable.
Mm-hmm.
So basically, Zoe's Extraordinary Playlist, the pilot episode, which I guess aired early, so this show actually isn't going to start airing until February, I believe. But for some reason, they decided to play the first episode earlier. And it is basically follows a girl named Zoe who is dealing with some family issues. Her father is very sick. He has a neurological disease. She's up for a promotion at work. And she is really stressed out based off of what's going on with her family. And so she starts to get like stress headaches. And so her mother is like, well, we got what's happening with your dad. We can't really afford to not be diligent and things like that. So you need to go to the doctor. So while she's at the doctor, this show takes place in San Francisco. While she's at the doctor, she's getting an MRI and an earthquake happened. And the guy, I don't know if he's a doctor, is playing music. And while she's in the MRI machine and the earthquake happens, she somehow gets the world music playlist inserted into her brain.
Okay.
And so now she can hear the musical thoughts of everyone she comes across.
Okay.
Interesting. I was wondering how, because the commercials, at least from someone who hasn't watched, have all been really just like super short, like snippets of scenes, right? There hasn't really been much of an explanation. So I was wondering how we were going to get musical.
Can this sustain itself as a show?
That is what I don't know. So when I first started to watch the show, I was like, this is a skip that shit. And then I was like, well, maybe this is just an okay to miss. And then I was like, well, maybe it's an ad.
And now you're like, oh my God, I love it.
No, I'm not. Definitely not like that. I don't even think I finished watching the whole thing. But it was, I think everyone should check out the first episode. So I'm going to say it's an add to your list for the first episode. Mm-hmm. But don't be surprised if you watch it and you're like, this is just not for me. It's an okay to miss. That's where I'm leaving it.
Okay.
Okay.
It's a little corny. You guys know I'm not a fan of the Beatles. Shocker. Oh my God. And so they they start off the first episode with some Beatles songs and I'm just like, this is boring. And then it gets cute. So I don't know. I just feel like it's a typical broadcast show, which you guys know, it's hard for me to really get into new broadcast shows because I just feel like they're so limited to what they can do.
Yeah.
And it's like they even play on like her cursing in one of the episodes and I'm just like rolling my eyes. I'm like, okay, this is lame and stupid and silly, but
it's like we've moved on in streaming world. Like,
I mean, totally. It's so crazy how broadcast is still pigeonholed into these rules by the FCC. It's like crazy. But anyway, So I think that people will. Do I think that this is sustainable, Tom? No.
Okay.
Okay.
I really don't. I think that this should be a limited series. Not a long series. But then again, I felt that I didn't like The Good Place, and everybody loves it.
Everybody loves it, yeah.
So everyone loves it, yeah. I haven't really given it a shot.
This may be NBC's answer to we're losing The Good Place, so we need to find something else that's kind of like heartfelt and uplifting in that way. And like
really
funny
quirky and unique.
So I think this is NBC's answer to that.
Now, Foom, in the pilot, is it mostly all like workplace? Because the commercials make it feel like it's really just only at work. But
it's very workplace heavy.
Okay.
You do see her home life, but like, she lives on her own and she has like a really interesting, not really interesting. I feel like that the way that sounds after you watch it may seem offensive, but her neighbor is really cool. It's an actor that goes, I think an actor that goes by they pronoun and I'm not sure the actor's name.
Cool.
So she lives on her own, but then you also see her family life with her mom and dad and her brother. But this is very workplace heavy. She's like at a tech startup and it's Silicon Valley in San Francisco. So
okay.
And there's a cute like will they won't they aspect to it, I guess. I guess she's involved in two of them actually, not just one. So you know, there are elements there. I just don't think that people are really gonna like gravitate towards the story in that way.
I'm already kind of getting the vibe that if this, you know, in a few months is picked up for season two, if there's like a different showrunner and like it's the kind of show that gets better, you know.
And you know, the potential is there because I think when you're dealing with like musicals, some people, like, there's an audience for them and then they're just not. Like, mm-hmm. NBC, this is not NBC's first time of trying to do this. They had Smash in the past. Like, they definitely have gone down this route. It doesn't really work out for them long term, but they keep trying it. They definitely keep trying it. So we'll see.
That's so funny that we're talking about Smash, because I used to always write about that on our blog. Do you remember that?
Yes.
Anyone who doesn't know, the three of us had Save It for the Commercial Break, our blog, that then turned into this podcast, and I would always write about Smash.
You did always write about it.
You were diligent.
But I will say, my only complaint about this show is Jane Levy. I don't know if it was her actual hair or a wig she was wearing, but it was so distracting. It was like very strawish and stiff.
She's got some straw hair.
I couldn't not look at it. Every time she was on, I got distracted by her wig. I couldn't even listen to what she was saying.
Weird. Okay.
So that's Zoe's extraordinary playlist.
Nice. Okay.
And the next thing on my list is Kevin Hart's Don't Fuck This Up. It's a series on Netflix, limited, kind of like a docuseries, that follows him around after the big hoopla of, you know, the Oscars, when his past tweets and past stand-up came out to haunt him, and then he ended up getting let go of being the Oscar host, and that's why they haven't had a host since. There's really not much to say about this. It's definitely an okay to miss. I don't even understand why they made this documentary. I don't feel like that instance in Kevin Hart's career warrants a documentary from him.
Like, really?
I'm just kind of like... Yeah, I mean, you were very arrogant about it. Your ego got in the way. You apologized, finally, and we can all just move on from there. So, yeah, I watched the first, like, 15 minutes of the first episode, and then I changed it.
Wow.
How many episodes is it?
It's that bad?
I think there's only, like, 4. I'm not even sure.
But still, that's a lot.
Yeah, it's, like, not necessary.
Is it funny, or is it kind of, like, serious?
There's 6 episodes. No, it actually it follows him. Like, it just follows, like, his production company and his work. Okay. Like, Kevin Hart is a busy man. Like, he is extremely, extremely, extremely busy. He's doing a tour. He's got a bunch of shows. He was getting ready to finish ADR for Jumanji. Like, he's a busy guy. Mm-hmm. So it was just, then he got into the car accident and he cheated on his wife. Like, there were things to talk about. I just feel like, if you are in any way in pop culture, you know, you could just easily read an article and, you know, that would be your episode. So I didn't really understand why they decided to do a series about it, but.
Weird.
You know, that's it. I got nothing else to say about it.
All right. Wow. All right. Sorry, Kevin. Moving on to Tommy Tom. What you got?
All right. I've got 2 comedies this week. First one I'm going to talk about is the very controversial, and a lot of people on social are talking about it, The First Temptation of Christ. This is that 45-minute Brazilian Netflix comedy where Jesus brings a gay boyfriend home. Have you guys heard about this?
I haven't heard a thing about this.
When you first said you were going to write about this, I didn't click to me initially, and I was going to text you and be like, can you change your list?
I was going biblical on you.
Oh my God. I was like, snore. But then I remembered the topic of this, and I was like, oh, this actually is really interesting. So I want to hear
Fumi thought Tom was going to talk about the 2 popes just more.
Right.
Just again.
She thought I was going History Channel on your asses. Yeah. So, First Temptation of Christ. This is an add this to your list. Guys, it is really fucking funny. The controversy is warranted. My mouth was literally dropped the whole time. Again, I told you last episode when I talked about the 2 popes, I went to Catholic school my whole life. I'm not very religious nowadays. I quite frankly don't even believe in God, but that's neither here nor there. So it was still kind of shocking to see them go there. I mean, this movie pushes the envelope. Mary smoking a joint. God comes and is like, you know, fondling Mary, and he's like, run away with me, leave Joseph. He couldn't even father a baby for you.
Are we really surprised that this came out of Brazil? Because I feel like if this came out of the United States, I would totally get it. If this came out of maybe even Canada, I would get it. But Brazil is a very religious country.
Brazil is super religious, but Brazil is also super gay, too. There's a massive gay population in Brazil. You know, like, honestly, it's satire. Like, so Mark, you weren't familiar with with this when I said it. So basically, this huge group in Brazil got like thousands of signatures on a petition and sent it to Netflix and was trying to get Netflix to pull it not only off of Netflix in Brazil, but everywhere around the world.
Mm-hmm. Oh, my God.
And they even escalated it to court, and a judge ordered Netflix to remove this from the queue. Whatever happened, Netflix is standing their ground, and they're not.
The Supreme Court in Brazil overruled the judge and said that it's satire, and it shouldn't affect like the way Christians think about like Jesus.
Wow, right. I somehow completely missed all of this. Wow,
hello, freedom of speech. But anyway, guys, so the movie it's only 45 minutes. It's basically the plot is Mary and Joseph are trying to throw a 31st or 30th birthday, one of them, for Jesus. And he's late for his party, and he comes home with this super flamboyant guy that he's been in the desert with for 40 days. And it's implied that this guy's his boyfriend. This guy is, like, flaming out the wazoo, right? It's just, it's really original. It's really funny. It's really ridiculous. Somebody's arm falls off. Like, body parts are flying all over the place. I will say the last 5 minutes got a little too odd for me, so the ending was really bizarre. It went into like sci-fi territory. I don't want to give anything away.
Oh, I hate when movies do that.
Right? But like out of nowhere, you know what I mean? Like when out of nowhere they go into sci-fi and it's like, where did this come from? So the last five minutes I kind of fell flat for me, but the rest of the movie, guys, it's fucking funny. You should definitely give it a shot. It's quick.
Wow. I didn't know anything about this.
Is it in Portuguese?
It is in Portuguese with subtitles, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Oh, wow.
But really original. Whoever wrote this is got a really funny mind, and they're pretty fucking brazen to come out with something like this because it is hysterical. It is really, really good.
Huh. Yeah, on IMDb, there is no writer listed. So
he's probably trying to hide himself. he's like in the witness protection, probably.
Wow, this is fascinating. So it's only a 46-minute short film. It's not a pilot. It's not a series. Nope. It's just a
A movie.
Cool. Okay, I'm gonna have to check this out. All right, I missed this.
It's pretty wild. Wow. So that's the first Temptation of Christ. Second thing I want to talk about is Like a Boss, the comedy.
I'm excited for you. What do you have to say?
With Tiffany, Rose Byrne, and Salma Hayek.
Yes.
Saw it today as of this recording.
Huh.
Guys, I think I'm going to say it's an okay to miss.
Oh, no.
Wow. Okay to miss.
It's one of those movies where, Mark, they've committed two major sins in your book. First, they showed all of the funny parts in the trailers.
Oh, the worst.
No.
Oh, God.
Okay, like literally, and the trailers were funny, right? Like, that's what got me to want to go see this movie.
Yeah. Totally.
But literally, everything that's funny or worthwhile in the movie has been shown in the trailers.
Second
thing they commit is some of the things you see in the trailer. Mark, can you guess where I'm going with this?
Movie?
They're not even in the movie. Yeah.
So, like, wait a minute. So, the trailers are the funniest parts. And some of those funny parts aren't even in the movie?
Yeah, like, so for example, you know the part when, like, Tiffany Haddish is, like, hanging off that, like, balcony?
She's planking.
And she's, like,
with the banner. That's not in the movie?
But it is, but you know how in the trailer she says, "White lady, I'm sorry if I die on you"? She doesn't say that in the film.
Ugh, come on, people.
Yeah. So
I hate that.
Really quickly, the plot, Rose and Tiffany play two best friends who've grown up their whole lives together. They started a makeup company together. They've got really creative, fresh ideas, but the company, their expenses are just too high, and they're not bringing in enough revenue to cover everything that they're expensing from a cost perspective. So Salma Hayek plays a rival makeup mogul. She's got this massive company, right, like L'Oreal kind of level, who wants to invest in them. But she also wants to break their friendship apart because it's expensive to buy both of them when she could buy just one of them, right? So she's kind of like the villain of the film. And the movie basically is just, you know, trying to show whether or not her antics and her tactics are going to work in breaking up their friendship. It is only 83 minutes before the credits roll, so it is super short, which is fine. Oh, I mean, it doesn't feel
too short. I did
hear
it was really short.
It's short, yeah. But it doesn't feel too short. It's just... Yeah, A for effort. It felt like somebody saw I Feel Pretty from a few years ago and got an idea from there and kind of wrote their own movie still kind of based on that. Mm. And you'll see what I mean when you see the movie, if you see the movie. I barely chuckled because, again, I had laughed hard after seeing the trailer 10 or 15 times. Right. So I'm going to say it's an okay to miss.
Oh, that's a bummer.
That is a bummer. I thought it was going to be so funny.
It looked really fun. Now, did one question I have for you, Tom, were all three equally good, all three actresses, or did like one, like how did Rose Byrne,
Tiffany Haddish was really good, and she has some pretty dramatic stuff to do. At a certain point in the film, and she's a good actress. I'm sold on her now. I'm here for Tiffany Haddish. Rose Byrne kind of phoned in her performance, I feel like.
Interesting. Yeah. Because I feel like in the trailer, she's actually not shown all that as much as the other two. You know what I mean?
Yep.
So I wonder if, okay. Selma.
Selma was fine.
Yeah. Well, you know who directed the movie, Tom, which I thought was really an interesting choice, is the director who directed Selma in Beatriz at Dinner.
Oh, interesting.
Yes, which I like that movie a lot, but that is that a movie different was so movie. Sad. And like it's funny, but it's very much a dramedy, and it's almost kind of like a play. So he bounces back and forth between these broad, like big general audience comedies, and then smaller films. So
how is Like a Boss doing? How did they do in the for the box?
It made
office?
10 million this weekend at number 4. So I mean, 1917 killed it. So I don't know what kind of audience they stole, but
oh my gosh, Like a Boss was number 4? That's surprising.
Number 4.
Why? You thought it would be higher?
Oh, I thought for sure it'd be higher.
With
I just feel
talent,
like with Tiffany Haddish, I mean, oh wow, that's surprising.
I would have only given it 3.
Tiffany Haddish's career isn't taken off the way I thought it would.
What do you mean?
I mean, has she had a real big hit since Girls Trip? Wasn't she in another movie that didn't do so well with Whoopi? And I can't think of the name of it now.
Well,
I
know she's been busy. She was in Nobody's Fool. Then she has The Last OG on TBS. She's got Black Bat Mitzvah on Netflix.
Oh, okay.
And she's
the
producer of a bunch of other comedians on Netflix, another show that they all do, female comedians do. She produces that.
I do think...
she's a New York Times bestseller. I mean...
That's true. I haven't watched The Last OG, but I don't think she should be doing a TBS comedy right now.
She got her coins.
Yeah, but like, who's really like talking about that, watching that? I almost feel like that's something you do a little later on. Like, I just feel like right now... Like, stick to just more elevated stuff. Even if it's, like, very broad, silly comedies, like, it should be theatrical, it should be premium cable, it should be streaming. Like, TBS, I feel like, is not for her right now. You know what I mean?
Hmm.
That's kind of my thinking. But at the same time, we're going to see Awkwafina in her Comedy Central show, which...
Right.
That'll be really interesting, since she's in all this awards mix. And, you know, so that'll be kind of interesting, but... Wow. All right. And I also, speaking of the box office, I'm kind of intrigued by Underwater, but I know that did really poorly.
Really bad. 7 million, at number 8 or something like that.
That
poor
does
Kristen.
Look good, too. Boy. You know, I think it was just a heavy weekend for films. It was a lot of choices.
And but, 1917 really exploded out of there, and I don't think people expected
absolutely.
That.
Wow.
Yeah, they really did. Well, that's the pointing.
Yeah, okay. I guess we'll...
I'll wait until it's on demand.
Yeah, or free on something. so cool. So I will wrap up our list. I have two movies to talk to you guys about, both in the awards mix. I was catching up, like you might have heard me say last week. I was catching up on some awards movies over the holidays, and these are two movies I gotta talk to you about. The first one is Uncut Gems, which has been on my radar for a while. That is starring Adam Sandler. Adam Sandler didn't end up getting the nomination. We'll talk about them a little later, pretty soon on this episode. But man, this actor was working this entire movie, guys. So let me give you a little bit of a plot and I'll tell you what I think of it. Okay. So Adam plays Howard Ratner. The film takes place in 2012. At first, I didn't really understand why it couldn't be modern day, but it has to do with a big sports game, which I thought was a really interesting way to kind of do a quote-unquote period piece, even though it's, you know, not really period. But so he plays Howard Ratner. He runs a jewelry store in New York City's Diamond District. This movie is so stressful. He is this very anxious, crazed, overworked, odd. He is so, it never ends. It never, never ends. And so I am saying Uncut Gems is an add this to your list.
Oh,
absolutely.
Yeah.
Check it out, guys. I don't know if it's as good as the Safdie brothers, who directed this film and co-wrote it. I don't know if this one's as good as their previous movie with Robert Pattinson that I raved about on the show called Good Time. That was stressful in a way that it was like this crazy, wild adventure throughout New York City. This one, Uncut Gems, is still very much an adventure, but it's more, a little more contained, and it's just, it's literally like, just so stressful. Just, you don't know how the hell this character is going to get out of these holes he keeps digging for himself.
Now, that's interesting, Tom, because I was going to say, so this movie, he's getting a lot of praise for this film. Mm-hmm. And people the critics loved this movie. But
yes.
Audiences didn't love this movie because they felt like he was super unlikable.
Oh, that's interesting. Did it get a D? What do they call?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that. That
I thought
is
it was
so
a C-, but it did not do well with the audiences. So I really was wondering what it was about. Is it his character? Because I was reading that his character, people just were like, you can't root for him. He's like sleazy. He's gross. Like, you don't care.
That's so interesting because I totally, when I was watching it, and I didn't know any of that. That's so fascinating. As I was watching it, I was both rooting for him and like yelling at, I'm actually so happy I watched this at home because I kept screaming. I was like, you are a fucking moron. Why would you do that? Like, he is so focused on his business, his diamonds, and Uncut Gems. Basically, very quickly, it starts in Ethiopia. They're Ethiopian workers that during a commotion, there's some, you know, stuff going on, and then they find this black opal that is embedded in a piece of rock. And so Adam Sandler's character orders this, spends a ton of money he shouldn't be spending. He's always making bad decisions. Mm. Oh my gosh, guys. So yeah, part of me like was rooting for him because it's like, you got to get yourself out of this somehow. But at the same time, you want to slap him. And someone who really wants to slap him was great. Idina Menzel plays a supporting role as his wife who is ready to divorce him. So they have very interesting scenes together.
Why is there no awards buzz for her?
It's just not that kind of role. She's great, but no way. Oh my God. If she got a nomination, I would be shocked. Like, it's a fun role. She's great. She's in it for maybe 15 minutes total.
Okay.
And, you know, if anything, I could have seen more love for a newcomer. I think this was her first or second film. Julia Fox plays Julia, his assistant, who I won't tell you much about it. I don't want to spoil anything, but she is involved in some things, and she was really interesting. I mean, everyone is at a 10 in this movie, so I could understand if viewers, if you know, theater goers didn't love it, because it kind of makes you a little nauseous. I mean, it's just things keep unraveling, and oh my God, and it's so good, guys. Lakeith Stanfield is great. He really adds to the pressure that Adam Sandler's character is facing. It's great. It's basically a guy that, like I said, keeps making bad decisions. And he, this whole uncut gem, he thought would make his life better. And actually, it's totally fucking everything up. So check it out. I don't think it's a movie. I don't even know right now if it's still in theaters. Okay, is it doing well? Okay. I say add this to your list, absolutely. But I don't, unless you really have nothing to do, you can wait a little bit for it to, you know, be on digital. I don't think anything about it needs to be seen on a massive screen, but, you know, support it in any way because, I mean, it's fascinating. The Safdie brothers, guys, are such New York filmmakers. Like, I don't know a ton of Scorsese's filmography. I know that's bad. I've obviously seen a lot of the big ones, but not everything. But I feel like they might be the new Scorsese. Like, just making these gritty, dark, rough New York movies. So check it out. It's wild.
Okay.
And also there's a fun little, it's not a secret, but there's a fun cameo from The Weeknd. So that's just throws even more weirdness into the movie. So you'll see him in some of the commercials and everything. So that is Uncut Gems. My next movie that is all over the awards, you know, discussion is Bombshell. Have you guys been able to see Bombshell?
I have.
Not yet.
Okay, Tom saw it. Fumi, not yet. Okay, so I wanted to talk about this because if you guys remember, earlier this year, actually on my list, was The Loudest Voice on Showtime. Mm-hmm. So it's funny how this Roger Ailes story has had two major adaptations this year, one on Showtime and now this one, Bombshell, in theaters. This one, I think, well, I was going to say it has more star power, but I mean, the other one had Russell Crowe, Naomi Watts, but this one, as we know, just has had a bigger effect on Hollywood. So Bombshell, I am going to say add this to your list. I really liked it, and I liked how digestible it was. I wasn't sure if it was going to be so heavy, so dark, that maybe it wouldn't have been likable, which I know is a really weird word to say about a story about women being sexually assaulted at work, but it's very digestible. It's a good kind of like general audience telling of this kind of story. And yeah, I actually appreciate that.
And they're careful to not alienate conservatives and Fox News lovers.
Yeah.
Like it kind of straddles the line. It's very non-judgmental. It just tells the story as it is. Yeah.
That's a great point, Tom. You're right. And I think maybe that's why I kind of liked it. It's literally straightforward. I didn't feel like it was leaning any way. It was just telling you. And I feel like Charlize has even said, we're not like putting any of these women who worked at Fox News under fire for working for Fox News. No judgment. Like, this literally is a movie about real people who are just trying to do their job. And the head of the company, like, was making life hell. So, of course, we know by now it stars Charlize, it stars Nicole, and it stars Margot Robbie. They are the, you know, main leads, but this cast is huge. I do not want to spoil a thing because there were some great surprises in there. Check it out. Your jaw will kind of drop. You'll laugh to yourself when you see some faces. But some other names that you know are in the movie, John Lithgow plays Roger Ailes. Kate McKinnon's got some fun stuff to do. Mark Duplass, who is quickly becoming more of a thing now. And I just want to shout out Alana Ubach, who plays Janine Pirro. She was also in Euphoria this year as one of the girls' moms. She's been around for years.
She's
love
awesome
you.
As Janine Pirro.
Oh my God. So great and so funny. And just, she's like, she just has such an energy, so she's great. But long story short, I think we all know this story already, but I'll just tell it to you really quickly. So Charlize plays Megyn Kelly, Nicole plays Gretchen Carlson, and then Margot plays a fictional character who is sort of the sum of multiple real people who worked at the network. And so she plays Kayla. And so we follow the three of them the most, how they were all in various ways and at various times assaulted sexually by this predator Roger Ailes. And so you know, it's interesting.
Is it assaulted or harassed?
Both. I would say both. Yes. Yeah, I would say for all three it was assault.
Okay.
Especially for Margot's character. I'll just say that. Great disturbing scene. And I think that's why she deserves that nomination, because she, to me, was the real heart of this movie, is this fictional character. My God, she does some great work in this movie. But check it out, guys. It's really a great storytelling of how this all happened. And I feel like they get so many perspectives in the film. His sons, his lawyers, and you feel like you are there. The only thing that I didn't love was there's a little bit of confusing sexuality stuff going on that isn't really addressed in the movie. Do you agree, Tom?
Yeah, that kind of came out of left field for one character in particular.
And although I appreciate it and I like that element, it was just honestly distracting. So I don't really know what they were trying to get with that. But overall, I really enjoyed it. And honestly, when Greg and I saw it, we both agree. We're like, that might not only be nominated for Best Picture, but it honestly might win, only because, like I said, it is so like effortlessly presented to us. It's very digestible. It could be talked about for years, but also it's just such a timely story, obviously, with the Me Too movement. So yeah.
And what I liked about it is it wasn't as heavy-handed. Like, a lot of people, when the trailer came out, they were wondering if this was going to be like the next, The Big Short, or what was the Christian Bale one?
Or Vice.
Vice. It's not as heavy-handed as both of those films. Like, those movies you really had to watch, and they threw a lot of information, and it was a lot of learning. This movie's not like that.
I thought they broke the fourth wall in Bombshell, though, too.
Yes, they do.
Do they?
They do. Mm-hmm, a little bit, yeah. So it is kind of like those movies in that way. But yes, there is a tiny bit of breaking the fourth wall. But I liked it, and it kind of kept it light for such a intense story. But the only other thing I'll quickly say that I didn't, that just sort of threw me was sometimes you're not sure whose movie it is. Because I know Charlize, they've been trying to get leading, Nicole's supporting, and Margot's supporting, but sometimes I was like, it's kind of like The Favorite. Like, sometimes I was like, wait a minute, I feel like you should be leading and you should be supporting. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So,
I think good for the movie, but a little confusing when it comes to wartime, but that's good for the movie.
Yeah, mm-hmm, totally. So check it out. I really liked Bombshell, and it's the kind of movie I feel like I could watch again sometime later on and kind of get more out of it. So nice. Add that to your list. Yeah. All right, so that is our list for this episode, episode 85. Just to recap, let's add it up. We had Zoe's Extraordinary Playlist, which I would say is a cautious add. Mm-hmm. Fumi likes it. We'll see how it goes. She also gave us Kevin Hart, Don't Fuck This Up on Netflix, which was an okay to miss. Mm-hmm. Tom gave us The First Temptation of Christ on Netflix, which is an ad, which sounds crazy. And he gave us Like a Boss in theaters now, which is sadly an okay to miss. Mm-hmm. And then I gave you Uncut Gems and Bombshell, two great movies to add to your list. Cool. And so with that, let's get into our final segment, Tom.
Yep, I'll take it from here. Yeah, so Oscar nominations are finally here. Mm-hmm. When we look at it by the numbers, Joker leads the pack. Not bad for a movie that was steeped in controversy. 11 nominations, and it is followed by The Irishman and 1917, each with 10 nominations. And then both Little Women and Parasite came in with 6, so not too shabby for those movies either. Little Women hitting the scene so late, and then Parasite being a foreign film.
Totally.
Are you guys surprised by Joker?
No.
Honestly, I am. I'm surprised that that is the most nominated film of the year. I truly am.
I know. It's kind of crazy. It's a comic book movie at the end of the day, right?
Yeah. Like, I mean, you know, it's very, I was going to say it's very original. I don't know if if that's the right word, but it's at least a very unique perspective on.
Yeah, it's a unique take on it.
Mm-hmm. You know, but still it's like, it's so dark. Yeah. It's like,
but think of how much they loved the Batman Christian Nolan did.
That's exactly. Like, it'll be very interesting if Joaquin wins, because this character has already won an Oscar with Heath. Yes,
Joaquin's winning. I think that. We'll get to that point eventually. Yeah.
We'll get to that in a moment. But before we get to that, let's talk a little bit about snubs and surprises. So no Taron Egerton for Rocketman, no J-Lo for Hustlers, no Aquafina for The Farewell. How you guys feel about that? Those all hurt my feeling. Well, J-Lo I could live with. We've talked about this ad nauseum. Fumi and I think that, you know, she wasn't great in the movie, but I like her as a person, and I was kind of rooting for her to get the nomination.
Wait.
It's beginning.
I did not say that she was not great in that film. I think that Hustlers is a fantastic movie. It's actually one of my faves of 2019. Mm-hmm. I thought J-Lo did a fantastic job. However, I do not feel that her performance warrants a nomination for an award other than Golden Globes, which she got. Mm-hmm. Which I'm not surprised by. But in terms of Oscar, no.
Okay.
And I'm on Fumi's page. I know Mark very much was rooting for her. I was rooting for her just because I like her. I've loved her ever since.
I love J-Lo.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
I just feel like, I know this sounds silly, but I feel bad for J-Lo. Like,
yeah, no,
she
I do
was
too.
Campaigning hardcore. And yes, we all agree, you know, it's not like what we perceive the role of what she played in Hustlers, it's not like it was very hard for her, maybe. But, like, I just feel like, you know, when she, God forbid, passes away years and years from now, like, this movie will be one of the highlights of her career. Like, that was a role that she was born to play.
This might be her only chance, is what you're saying.
Maybe. I think she's a pretty great performer, so maybe we'll see her again, but I just feel like, man, like, that role was good for her. Like, Robert De Niro has so many of these roles, you know, and like J-Lo, like, wow, that was her role. So
I'm
kind of bummed
that there's hope for her. I think that her role hasn't come yet, but it will be there. J-Lo is one of the hardest working women in entertainment.
Totally.
Mm-hmm. So, definitely
I think that her time has, it will still come. It just isn't here yet.
And I have to say,
do we think?
Oh, sorry, Tom. I real quick. Taron Egerton, as you know, I finally saw Rocketman, and I am truly like smacked in the face, shocked that that man did not get a nomination.
I am surprised he didn't get nominated as well.
Holy crap!
Especially when you consider last year Rami Malek won for playing Freddie Mercury in a movie that was not as good as Rocketman, that was not as truthful and accurate as Rocketman, and not as original.
Exactly, and Bohemian got a nomination.
And Taron sang.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, oh my God, the work that went involved in that movie, Rocketman, I'm shocked. I think it only has one Oscar nomination, and I am shocked. Shocked.
Do we think Awkwafina's name hurt her in the end?
No.
No. Mm-mm. I just don't think the Farewell wasn't on anyone's radar.
I think it's, I guess, just too small, and maybe Parasite just sort of took over in the Asian corner.
Right, both Asian,
you know?
Yeah.
But that's why I was saying offline to you guys, I think the Indie Spirit Awards, the night before the Oscars, is going to be a very different show. Like,
yeah,
totally.
That'll be some party.
Yes, totally different films and different vibes and diversity and everything. Yeah.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Two other snubs that people were talking about all day. No Frozen 2 for Best Animated Film, which...
Who cares?
Eh, I mean... Who cares?
Yeah, it's funny because I realized that much later in the day. I was like, oh yeah, it didn't even dawn on me. But like, yeah, that's pretty significant that Disney isn't owning the animated film category. They just have Toy Story 4. Some of the animated films, I don't even know what they are.
And then another one that's really surprising, just because editing is what made this movie, in my opinion. 1917 got a slew of tech awards, right? And it was also nominated for Best Director and Best Picture. It was not nominated for Best Film Editing. And I'm just like, huh?
Hmm.
The movie's designed to look like a single take. Editing is a major part of that. So I don't know. I don't get it. Whatever.
Yeah.
I'm also surprised that Beyonce didn't get a nomination. Not that I think that song from The Lion King deserved a win, because it's really not that good.
It's not good.
Yeah.
But I just feel like she should at least got nominated.
Interesting. I did not like that song at all. That was such a, you know, and obviously it's not her fault. I mean, I'm sure there were so many cooks in that kitchen of that song.
I'm sure.
I know. Mm-hmm.
And then just something else that felt really excessive to me, Scarlett Johansson got two nominations. She got Best Actress nomination for Marriage Story and then Best Supporting Actress for Jojo Rabbit. I thought she was phenomenal in both. I much prefer Jojo Rabbit as a film than I do Marriage Story, but I just feel like
I don't know, that's excessive. I think that that right there is a problem that with this year's nominations, I just feel like, I don't know who's voting or how they calculated all of this, but I just don't feel like they're living in reality. I mean, we're talking about so many films that were not acknowledged. Like, granted, Us was not a great movie, but Lupita Nyong'o's acting in Us, freaking phenomenal. She played two roles. Come on, people. Come on. Like, Dolomite Is My Name, a fantastic, warm-hearted, well-acted movie, comedy. Like, where's the acknowledgement for that? The fact that, like, the Pharrell wasn't nominated, I just was like, you can give her the director acknowledgement for a really well-directed movie. I'm just like, what is going on? And no offense, but the movies that are being nominated, like, who cares? At least half of them, who gives a shit? Like, no, like, they're not that good. They're really not.
It's weird. Yeah, I'm starting to really, truly think. Remember how we were just saying this a little bit ago with TV, that it's like, oh my God, this award show totally left out these shows. And it's, I guarantee now in the next few years, it's going to be choose your own award show, because there's just so much content out there, movies and TV, that it's like literally now it's impossible to get the full spectrum. So it's literally like the Oscars no longer are the end all be all. And that's just one of the shows. And you just choose whichever show you kind of are the most interested in.
Do you think that's what it is, Mark? It's like people are overwhelmed by the choices, so they just latch on to whatever people are talking about, and they don't like make it a concerted effort to like go watch something else.
I sadly think campaigning is even more important now, because you have to cut through all other people.
All the noise. Yeah.
I mean.
But look at Brad. He's not campaigning and he's doing real well.
Well,
yeah, but Brad
I think
doesn't
that...
need to because he's a golden boy in Hollywood and people yeah. have been waiting for his comeback moment. He,
right.
you know, Angelina like destroyed him. So
she tried
he's
to
have
right.
his
she
you
tried
know, golden
to.
Comeback. So yeah. people are eating this up. They want to give him his first Oscar for acting. Like people are waiting to do that.
Plus,
like they were for Leo. Like they're just waiting to do it for him.
No shade to Brad at all, because I've always loved him. I think this is great. He's been working in his ass off for years, and he is very much a movie star. And
yes.
this is just that kind of time where it's like, you know what? We should give it up to a movie star. However, I do wish, because he actually is a good actor, and I feel like he didn't have to do too much of hard work, I feel like, in Once Upon a Time. I don't know. I know that might sound douchey.
No, I agree.
Yeah.
I would have liked it maybe for a little bit meatier of a role. I mean, mm-hmm. he was having fun. So, but I also, no shade, I just think the supporting actor category is probably one of the weakest this year.
Mm.
I just don't think there were that many good supporting male roles in movies overall, maybe.
Yeah, I agree with you because I feel like the winner is very obvious and it's kind of like
yeah.
not exciting. Like everybody knows who's going to win. Like we all know what he's going to go up there and say. Like
yeah.
I just feel like when it comes time to that one, you're just going to be like, meh.
That's why I'm kind of bummed that there's no J-Lo, because I just feel like now we all know it's definitely Laura Dern. And don't get me wrong, love her. Go you. But, you know, I always like a little bit of like, ooh, well, I don't know. Like someone could upset. I don't know if there's
going
to be that.
Well, I actually will have to say, Mark, I think it'll be Laura Dern too. But however, I do think if they're going to look for an upset, they'll give it to Kathy. Not because she deserves it, but just because they want to like throw a wrench into things, you
Maybe.
Know?
I haven't
yeah,
seen that movie.
You never know.
Tom, you saw Richard Jewell, I think, didn't you? You didn't like
yeah.
it? Yeah. I know it wasn't.
It was
problematic.
I mean, she was good, but yeah.
Okay.
The movie is just not good. Well, since we're talking about nominations, should we go through some of these and talk about what we think is going to win?
Let's predict, baby.
Mm-hmm.
Let's do some predictions. We've never done this before. So we're going to pick the main categories. We're not going to put you all to
yeah.
sleep. You all can go online and find out the whole list of nominations. We've got about 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 categories here, the big ones. I will name the nominees, and then we'll just go around saying what we think is going to win. Sound good?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Let's start with Best Actor. Joaquin Phoenix for The Joker, Antonio Banderas for Pain and Glory, Jonathan Pryce for The Two Popes, Leo for Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, and Adam Driver for Marriage Story. Foom, you go first.
Joaquin.
Mark.
Yeah, I mean, I would say it's probably between, I don't know, Joaquin and maybe Adam Driver.
You
got to
pick one.
It's Joaquin.
That's what I think,
yeah.
too.
Yeah.
Yep.
It's a no-brainer.
Actress, Best Actress, Scarlett Johansson for Marriage Story, Cynthia Erivo for Harriet. I know Mark has issues with this.
Yeah.
Renee Zellweger for Judy, Charlize Theron for Bombshell, and Saoirse Ronan for Little Women. Mark.
Renee.
Fumi.
Renee.
We are all agreeing so far. I
oh, yeah.
Yeah, because it's so obvious.
These are,
us.
Like, so obvious, yeah.
It's so
yeah.
obvious. It's like, ugh.
Best Supporting Actor. Nominees are Anthony Hopkins for The Two Popes, Joe Pesci and Al Pacino, both for The Irishman, Brad Pitt for Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, and Tom Hanks for A Beautiful Day in a Neighborhood. I think it's going to be Brad Pitt.
Yep, Brad.
Yep, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe we'll get a little more exciting once we get past Best Supporting Actress. Scarlett Johansson again for Jojo Rabbit. Kathy Bates for Richard Jewell. Margot Robbie for
mm-hmm.
Bombshell.
Yep.
Florence Pugh for Little Women. And Laura Dern for Marriage Story. Fumi.
Well, like I said, I think that a Laura Dern will get it. But I think if they want to surprise people, it'll be Kathy Bates. I think Florence Pugh... She's too young.
I'd love that.
I think she's too young. I don't think they'll give it to her yet.
Mark?
This category is a little interesting. I mean, I think it's definitely going to be Laura Dern. I think if anyone could upset, I mean, I know I just raved about Margot Robbie earlier in this episode 4 Bombshell, but I wonder if Scarlett could upset just because she is a double nominee and this seems to be a
yeah,
big year for
her.
Yeah,
that's a good point.
But I real quick, since we were talking about Scarlett earlier, I know she's got some flack thrown at her. I get it. I totally hear you. And I know, you know, it's the same person over and over. I gotta be honest, I think both of these noms are totally deserved, so I may be part of the problem, because I thought she was awesome in Jojo Rabbit and truly a supporting actress. So, but it's Laura Dern.
Yeah, I think it's Laura Dern too. Mm-hmm. All right, let's turn it over and maybe get a little bit of diversity among us. Diversity in picks, that is, in actual nominations, because we know it's a little bit white this year.
And speaking of, Tom, real quick, did you guys see when Issa Rae announced the directors?
Sure did you see that? She did not look
She's
happy.
Like, congrats to all those men.
Men. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right, original screenplay. Best original screenplay nominees are Knives Out, Marriage Story, 1917, Once Upon a Time, and Parasite. Oof.
Can I go first?
Go first.
Yeah, go for it.
I feel that if this does not go to Parasite, it'll be a travesty.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
A travesty.
I totally hear you, Flume. It should absolutely be Parasite. I'd also be happy with Knives Out or Marriage Story, but I would love Parasite, but I have a feeling it will be Quentin Tarantino.
I agree with you.
That's what I think, too.
It'll be Quentin, and it'll be a travesty. Because
you know why it's
no
going to be
Quentin?
Because
other than Parasite.
Yeah, Parasite's a great script, but I do think that Quentin will get it because it'll be a way for to soften the blow that he's not going to get Best Director, and we'll talk about that in a few seconds. Adapted screenplay. Nominees are Irishman, Jojo Rabbit, Joker, Little Women, and The Two Popes. I'm going to say The Irishman, probably because it's a 3.5-hour movie, and that's a really difficult book to probably adapt into a screenplay, and you have to have a lot of willpower and a lot of vision, so I'm going to go with The Irishman. Mm.
This one is actually kind of tricky. I am going to say, I actually think, maybe I'm delusional, I think it's going to be Jojo Rabbit. I think Taika Waititi is just now popular enough that he might actually get it. I think it's between Jojo and maybe Little Women, but I just think Little Women will miss it, and it might be Jojo.
Mark and I are on the exact same page.
I mean, it
said the exact same thing.
I would be so happy. I mean, Jojo was phenom.
Yep. Cinematography, good one. Irishman, Joker, The Lighthouse, 1917, and Once Upon a Time. I think it's a no-brainer, guys. 1917.
Yeah, this one also is kind of tricky. I haven't seen 1917. I have a feeling you're probably right, Tom, but I could also see maybe Once Upon a Time sneaking in there because it is beautiful, but I think it's 1917. The Lighthouse, I mean, wow, good for you for somehow getting in there. The most wacky film to be nominated for an Oscar in quite some time, I bet.
Yeah, I didn't love The Lighthouse, but I support this nomination. Fumi, I know you haven't seen it yet. You're not looking for a nap quite yet.
No, I won't be watching it. I have absolutely no interest.
but you know, Tom,
a single interest.
Real quick, Tom, I do have to say, even though I'm happy some horror weirdness is in there, I do think Midsommar maybe deserved this nomination more than The Lighthouse.
Ooh,
I mean, that cinematography was beautiful. So
yes, it was.
You know, it's interesting.
Whatever.
Best Director, Marty Scorsese, Todd Phillips for The Joker, Quentin Tarantino for Once Upon a Time, Sam Mendes for 1917, and Bong Joon-ho for Parasite. Fumi, what do you think?
Okay, so this is a little tricky. Mm-hmm. I think this is going to be a tough one.
Mm-hmm.
It'll either be between Bong Joon-ho or Sam Mendes. But I think it'll go to, I'll save my overall prediction till the very end, but I think it'll go to Sam Mendes.
Interesting. Okay. Yeah, I agree, Foom. This is actually tricky. So I guess even though they're all, I was going to say white, but they're not white. They're all men, and I know that's annoying. But I would say, Sam Mendes or Bong Joon-ho. And that would be sick if Bong Joon-ho gets it. But it might go to Sam Mendes. I mean, it might go to Quentin. I really don't know. What do you think, Tom?
I think it's going to go to Sam Mendes.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, I just can't believe Todd Phillips did a good job with Joker, but how crazy that the director of the Hangover movies is nominated for an Oscar. Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right, guys. The big one. Best Picture. Here we go. The nominees are Ford versus Ferrari.
Random.
Can we forget that that's even in there?
This is what I'm talking about.
Mm-hmm. The Irishman, Jojo Rabbit, Joker, Little Women, Marriage Story, 1917, Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, and Parasite. What do you think, Mark?
It's between those last three, and it's really between 1917 and Parasite, so you loved 1917, Tom, and it seems to be winning all these things, so I guess it's 1917. That's what I'm thinking.
Okay, Fumi, will Parasite become the first best foreign film in history to win Best Picture?
I think it will. I think that, I completely agree with Mark. I think that this category is going to 1917 or Parasite, and I think that we're going to have a upset on our hands, and Parasite is going to be
the winner. Oh, my God. If that happened, Foom, I would scream with joy. Oh my gosh, I would scream with joy.
That would be wild.
What I really think is going to happen, or I guess this is just my hope that it's going to happen to make this award show even remotely interesting, because it's not really right now, is that Parasite will do not a clean sweep, but pretty much a majority of the awards that it's nominated for, it'll win.
Mm, interesting. Okay. I'm worried that Once Upon a Time might... actually,
yeah,
I think that it probably, I agree with you, and I probably would boycott the Oscars for at least a year.
What do you think, Tom? 1917?
I'm gonna say 1917.
Wow,
yeah.
Okay,
I think it's war movies haven't been in such a long time, and like, you know, everybody's worried about war right now, like we've talked about on a previous episode.
Yeah.
And this movie really is, I mean, it's unique. It's different. And you don't get a lot of World War I movies. A lot of movies were about World War II.
Well, it's hard because it's hard to do the research because a lot of stuff has been lost.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Totally. I just still think it's weird that we have 9 best pictures. It's like, you didn't want to just make it 10, but I know that's not how they do it. It's a percentage thing. But like, just make it 10, you know? But yeah, Ford versus Ferrari. Random. But also, did you guys notice? I counted. Out of the 9 best pictures, isn't it crazy this year? 7 of them are period pieces. Only 2.
Oh, wow.
Parasite and Marriage Story. Those are the only 2 that are modern day. Because even Joker is sort of like 70s, 80s-ish? 70s?
80s, yeah.
Yeah, they're all period. So weird. Yeah, and there's so much crossover. When you look at the movies and the casts, Laura Dern's in 2 of these, Scarlett Johansson, Al Pacino, Robert De Niro's in 2. There's so much crossover that it's like,
expand acting and reach out to new people.
That little bubble.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, that was fun, and we will check back on these predictions in just a couple weeks. That is our episode for today.
Wait, Tom, we're not going to do the shorts?
Oh, honey.
Can you imagine? It's like, close your eyes and pick one, right?
Right? Just pick out of a hat. Well, that's our episode for today. Thank you for checking us out. We will, like we said, we will check back on these nominations in a little bit less than a month now as of this recording. Mm-hmm. In the meantime, please go to addthistoyourlist.com. Check out our new website. Mm-hmm. Listen to past episodes. Write us a note. Tell us what we should be watching. You can also find us on Google Play and Stitcher and iTunes if you so need, but now there is no need. You could just go to our website, find us on social, and thank you, Greg, Allie, and Jay, for all the support you give this podcast. We are going to take a little bit of a break because we're feeling a little bit of awards fatigue, so we will be back in 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
2 semanas.
Oh, yes. See.
Fancy.
And until then, ciao.
Ciao.
Bye.